Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, we're recording in Vegas again? I hope this sounds right, man. Week 46 of 50, back in LA, the lead up. So last you heard in the story, I just busted the 2021 main event early on day 4. After flatting with pocket 9s and getting outflopped by Ace Jack, but saving my tournament life by not jamming pre, then ultimately getting it in with pocket 6s against Ace 8 and not winning that flip either. It simply wasn't meant to be for me this year. But having said that, I now want to say this loud and clear. I greatly appreciate all of you riding along on my journey. And as much as I bemoan my way too busy and unbalanced life, I appreciate the shit out of all of you listening who support my content and subsequently my third rise. Thank you, patrons. No cheese dicking around whatsoever. You all keep the dream of coming back up alive. And a man on the grind, working every single day on many long-term projects, pretty much for 4 years straight, he fucking needs to be able to dream, to at least see some light at the end of the super long tunnel he's in. And that light is all of you. And along with the constant thought of my kids and a few others I love, it's all of you who keep me trudging along through the shit. And I know that probably sounds dramatic, and maybe it is. I'm very aware that in many respects, I'm extremely fortunate and privileged and all that. And many in the world have it much, much worse than I do. But also, relatively speaking, my current life is pretty miserable. Wake up stressed about money, check the calendar to see how many days I have to make ends meet before a new month is upon us. Think about all the people I owe and how long it's been. I do this daily, no joke, and it makes me sick every single time. Then work all day and night until I have nothing left, only to crash, sleep like shit, and do it all over again. And whenever I play poker, I know I come into a session the opposite of the way Tommy Angelo would suggest, and I play far from my best. But also, I still get the money in good. Over and over, because this fucking game called Live No Limit Hold'em is easy for me. I just lose the big pots way too often, for half a decade now. Let me take an early sip of this 7-Up Zero to gather myself, and then we'll resume the story of my life in a less bitchy way, hopefully. So, it's Friday, November 12th. About 1:30 p.m., you know, we went outside the Rio and read the STP scoreboard scores, and we fist bumped, and you all said good game, and I said thanks, and then I got an Uber, and I went back to Panorama Towers. And imagine staying at Panorama Towers and complaining about your life. Sheesh. I downloaded the notes I'd taken from my phone that day to a Microsoft Word document, and I started paying all the people that had pieces of me. It wasn't a complete failure. Everybody earned a little bit. And that's part of it, going through and, you know, paying a bunch of people. And so what? It's not the end of the world. I packed up and I headed to the airport. And I got to the gate and I started working on my notes. I always got work to do on my notes. It will chill out next year a little bit when I'm not telling the story of my life. But there's all, you know, the better your notes are, the better the drop's going to be. And my flight was fine back to San Diego and, you know, got out of the San Diego airport, found my car in the parking lot, and she started. That's nice. It's an old car. You never know when she's just not going to start. And got to the gate to make my payment and put my ticket in. And it wouldn't read my ticket. And I don't know if my ticket, the magnetic thing on the back, got stripped while it was in my wallet. I don't know. But I pushed the button for service, and the guy's tilting. He's, you know, he doesn't know why it won't work. And eventually, he just lifts the arm. So I got lucky there. The guy, it was probably going to be like well over $100. The guy was tilted, or maybe didn't want to walk out and figure it out, and just lifted the arm up. And so that's a bink. Saved probably $120 on parking at the airport. Felt good. Drove back to my granny flat, and I wanted to get my kids. It was pretty, you know, it's kind of late on this night, but I missed them so much, and my ex wanted to keep them on this night, and that's fine. Because they were going out to dinner for her birthday. I forgot it was her birthday and said sorry about that. And then, so I got back to my granny flat and I got in the bath because my back really hurt. You sit, when you play the main event, you sit in like pretty uncomfortable chairs and you play 10 hours a day. And, you know, hopefully you play 10 hours a day. And I don't know, it, you know, your back hurts. So what to do in the bath? I fired some games. I hadn't bet on sports very much during the main event. I was focused on poker and content. And I don't know. I didn't really care to gamble on any sports. It just felt right. It was just a habit. So I bet on some games, and I was up. I had Villanova versus UCLA, and Villanova was getting points, and they're winning by 10, you know, midway through the second half or whatever. And so they're getting points and they're up by 10, but I know it's coming. I know the bullshit ending is coming, and this is the worst feeling, that sense of doom in gambling, because it doesn't make sense. It's not logical, but it's something us gamblers feel. Many of us do a lot. You just know the doom is coming, and yeah, it came. Not only did they cough up the lead, but they fouled at the end to, you know, not cover, to lose and not cover. And I lost $400 on this night, and I should not have bet. I was too fragile from the main event. It wears you out. I'm already worn out going into it, but it wears you out. And I felt bad about day three, not being able to be at my best or even anywhere close. Also ran like shit. I'm aware of that, but I didn't feel great about the main event, and I don't know, I really felt bad about losing $400 on this night, and I've lost $400 more than anyone on the planet, but in this night, I should not have bet. It hurt. I went to sleep without one beer, way too tired, and I had weird dreams, and I woke up early and exhausted on Saturday, November 13th, and I unpacked my stuff, I cleaned up a little bit, made coffee, and I started packing up for my next trip, which would be on the following day, to LA. So it's hot as shit on this day, Santa Ana's and whatnot. I go to my daughter's soccer game, and she's out there pouting a little bit, and it's been so long since I've seen her pout. Body language was her one thing to work on in sports. She's very talented, but sometimes her body language wouldn't be good. And it was almost always playing soccer when it was hot. She doesn't like the heat. And I asked her what was wrong after the first quarter. She said she couldn't find her water. So she didn't think she was going to have any water. But she found it, and she stopped pouting. She played great. Her face was purple, and it was just great to, you know, see it was just great all around. And I grabbed her, and I said, let's go get your brother. And I said the week before on the way to their soccer, first we played her song. I'll just play it briefly, what her song is that she likes to listen to before games. Let me just pull it up here. So this is what she likes to play before her sporting games. She starts getting locked. I won't play the whole thing, but so we'll be in my trusty old Lexus, my 12-year-old daughter, Little Miss Fuego, riding shotgun, my 9-year-old son, Little Fuego, in the back. He doesn't really like this song, but we're both going to their games, and first I play her song. She likes this one. She's getting amped. It's red. One shot. And she starts, you know, rapping the whole thing. Which is a good song before sports. Okay. And then my son, I said, what song do you want? And he, this kid, this is a song he wants to get pumped up. I'm not kidding. For sports. So, well, my daughter with the Eminem song is just getting locked, not smiling, just, you know, just rocking to it a little bit, rapping, just getting ready. My son plays this song, Space Unicorn, in the back seat, and he's wearing shades, and he's got like shaggy blonde hair, and he's smiling, and he's dancing, and he's just fucking ridiculous. And all I can do is smile back. And I said, the first time he had me play that, I said, bro, this song is really bad. You better play your heart out. And he did not. That was the week before. Well, he wanted this song again after his sister and I picked him up from his house for his soccer game. And yeah, I'll play it for him again. I just want to see him happy. And anyways, we get to his game and I coach him up a little bit. So I'm aware that I'm misplacing a little of my frustration with not going far in the main event. I mean, I went to day four, but not going as far as I wanted to. I really want to win this soccer game. But I'm aware of it, so it's not that ridiculous. And my son's team is shorthanded. The holidays are underway or getting close, and they're playing one player less than the other team. And you know, I'm coaching my son up. It's hot. He's panting. He's like, I can't breathe. And I'm like, dude, you're nine. And I'm just telling him, you got to slow down and with your breathing and get out there and play hard. Your team needs you. And he does. He plays well. Some signs of his old self. And that's a weird thing to say about a nine-year-old. But prior to the pandemic, this kid was dominating sports. He was alpha in sports at age seven or whatever. Soccer, basketball, baseball, just. And then the pandemic hit and he just became a gamer and just on his iPad all the time and is just less aggressive in sports. But he showed some signs on this day. So I put like Jordan in the 4-5. And then if you remember Michael Jordan, when he came back, he was 23, he came back as 45. And there were signs of his greatness, but it wasn't the same. And I was just comparing my son to Michael Jordan. Fuck it. I wanted to. And they need him to play goalie in the third quarter. And he's cool with that. And I go back there with him. And, you know, I'm just kind of coaching him up from the sideline. And he has a couple nice stops. And he, you know, goes to outer space a couple times in goal, like just thinking about something else. Same stuff as dad does all the time. If you ever go out with me to a restaurant or whatever, occasionally you'll be talking to me and then you'll be like, is this dude in outer space? And the answer is yes. Just thinking about something. It's not intentional. It's just our makeup. And anyways, he makes a really good stop. And he was saying before the game, he doesn't want to get kicked with a cleat. And I was like, what? But that actually makes a lot of sense. If you've had a good life as a kid, a really protected life, sheltered life, why would you want to get kicked with a cleat? It just seemed weird to me at the time. But anyways, he had a great third quarter, but he was drinking so much water. You take your water bottle with you in the goal. You just put it on the side of the net, and when the action's down at the other end of the field, you just keep drinking. And when I picked him up, when his sister and I picked him up, his mouth was blue. And so that means he was eating some candy. I think he was eating Airheads. You know, just that's how this kid's going to get ready for his game. Well, now he had to go to the bathroom, and there's just an outhouse pretty far from his field, and there's only a few minutes between the third and fourth quarter, so I'm like, dude, we got to run down there. Go for it. Run. And he's not. He's just kind of like, he starts running a little bit, then walking, so I start running with him. I'm just kind of competitive dad on this day, and I'm running with him. I'm like, let's go. And then he goes in there, and then he comes out, and he's like, man, that was disgusting. And of course, outhouse is fucking disgusting. But I'm like, bro, your game's gonna start. I'm just like, you know, I'm feeling the sense of urgency. And yeah, and so he's like, I have to play goalie again. And I'm like, you want to play goalie again? He's like, yeah, I don't think I can run around. Kid has to take a shit. And he thought he might have been doing that, but the outhouse was too gross. And so this is amazing. He has to play goalie because he's afraid if he runs around, he's going to shit himself. And little Fuego, when you listen to this, don't be mad at me for sharing this. It's just a very normal thing for little boys or little girls, anyone. So he allows one goal while not trying to shit himself. And then he stops a couple others and they win the game 3-2 and he's very happy. They won shorthanded. That feels good. The other team has an extra player out there and they lose. That must feel bad for them. Anyways, I walked slowly with him to my car, and we went up to his mom's house so he could relieve himself and so my daughter could get ready to stay with her dad as well. And I fired games in the car. Because I wanted to fire games on this day. The night before, I didn't even want to. I just did it out of habit. So, get in my car, got their overnight stuff. We go to this sandwich place called Submarine, and it's great service and really good sandwich as well. And I'm sitting down at the table in Submarine, and when I'm looking across the table at my daughter and my son, I know I am a goddamn sunrunner. Like, I'm not bullshitting. I know I have run insanely hot with my kids. I've done everything I could, and their mom's a great mom, and they have a village that raises them. But I've just sun run thus far with them, and I was thinking I wish I could feel like this at the poker table sometimes. I used to. Back in the day, I used to, and even during my second rise, I did at times. I haven't felt like a sun runner at the table in a very long time, and I'm thinking this at the table, so I just said, I go to outer space sometimes. I went to outer space. I'm just thinking how lucky I am. But why can't I ever feel like this at the poker table? Well, I'm thinking, well, it wouldn't be right if you were just lucky at everything. I don't know. I needed a haircut because I got a big week ahead of me. I just came off the main event, and I'm going to be commentating for 5 nights up in L.A., and I got to record a bunch of stuff, and I got to play poker. And a haircut always helps me feel a little better when I'm completely worn out. And one of the ladies offers to braid my daughter's hair for free. We've been going in there. They see my kids since they were tiny, and now they're not tiny at all anymore. Daughter's over 5 feet tall. My son's getting there. And I don't know. So she's getting her hair braided. I'm getting my hair cut. And my son is on his sister's phone. And the kid is just so locked in on playing a game on the phone. And again, I'm just always thinking about shit, especially when I'm tired. I'm thinking, well, maybe he'll grow up to be like Trevor Savage, you know, really good at games, really good at online games. And Trevor's really good at online poker, but has that kind of gamer. I don't know. I'm just thinking that. I'll get my hair cut. And I said, I'll fucking take that. And let me go to Rouse. And just my kids don't like going there, but we always have fun, get a bunch of stuff. And head up the hill, the steepest fuck country hill that I live on top of in a granny flat. And I just, they helped me unpack not only their stuff for overnight, but all the groceries. And I just, this has nothing to do with the story. I just wrote, man, I love them a lot. I was working on these notes a few days later in my hotel room in Torrance, where that's where I stay when I'm going to be at the Hustler for a week. And I was getting choked up just thinking about these kids and how much they mean to me and how lucky I am. And so I put, man, I love them a lot. That doesn't have anything to do with the story. It's just what I wrote at the time. And I don't know what happened. Let me take another sip and we'll keep going. So after everything was, in the fridge and the cupboards and all that, I needed to write. I had a lot of catching up to do on my writing. I wanted to have quality time with them, but also they're at the age where they want to play games, and that's cool. As long as I'm around them, I'm okay with it. So I worked, and I lost again in sports betting. And again, my kids fell asleep while I was writing. And again, I didn't have one sip of alcohol, and this is so rare for me. I always have at least a beer. And 2 nights in a row, I didn't. I just couldn't. My head hurt. It felt like it would be work. And I don't know, I crashed and I woke up really early on Sunday, November 14th. And I didn't want to go out into the main room at my granny flat. So there's a main room, a bathroom, and then my room. And I don't want to go out into the main room because my kids are in bunk beds out there and I want them to sleep. So I have my laptop in my room and I just lay on my back and put it in my chest and I work and I fire some sports in there. Sunday is NFL, something I love to watch, and I've just never done well betting on football. It's all flips the way we do it, but it feels like I'm just completely awful at it, and I don't know. Then it's 9 or whatever, and I go out, and my son stayed in his top bunk all night. And so this is a public drop, and if you know, many of you don't know that there are a lot of private drops to this podcast where I tell the intimate details of my life. And one thing that's kind of an issue is my son sleeps on the top bunk, my daughter on the bottom bunk, and my son gets scared in the middle of the night and hears a noise or whatever, and he wakes up one of us. I don't know. I was excited he didn't do it on this day. And so I'm just making them food and cleaning up and walking around, kiss them on their foreheads, just tell them how much I love them nonstop. And that's some Gen X dad shit. It's just it's the opposite of Boomer, I think. Boomer was, you know, let the kids fend for themselves. Gen X is like, no, make them feel incredibly loved, and because you love them so much. And I don't know. I have a good feeling about the generation that's coming up now. I think I see it everywhere I go. I see really good parents, and I think that's going to lead to a really good shift in humanity away from all the hate and all that. I think, I don't know, that maybe that's just some optimistic bullshit, but I do think that. And, you know, my kids are just two kids of however many there are out there, and I just see it everywhere. Really good kids because really good parents, and I don't know. I'm getting whacked already, though, in sports. I know that. And that's standard. And get all packed up and drop them off and get big hugs. And I head to L.A. And there's a lot of traffic on this day heading up to L.A. And I make a phone call to Brad from Chasing Poker Greatness. And we were going to maybe do a pod on that one guy in the main event, Chance something. I don't know. He's a big-time tournament player. Chance Cornuth or something. There was a video of him doing a pump fake with his chips, trying to get a read, and Brad was of the opinion that that's poker, and I'm of the opinion of that's fucking Bush League, and we're going to do a pod on it. And we just talked instead and said, fuck that, we don't need any more haters, either of us. We could be on the, have different opinions, him and I, and present them strongly and joke about it and never get upset, but we know that's not how it works. Everything's black and white on the internet, and we don't want to trigger anyone, so fuck it. We decided to not do that pod, and I talked to a couple other people I just haven't talked to in a while. The only time I can really handle talking on the phone is when I'm driving up to L.A., and but also, I know I'm going to be doing a lot of podcasting and commentating the rest of the week. I need my voice, so I cut it short, and I start listening to sports. And I'm getting whacked, and I get close to the hotel, the Doubletree in Torrance, and I stop at Chipotle. I want to just eat. I know that's at least clean food, and it tastes good, and I'm sure it's not great for you, but at least it's clean. And I get my room, unpack, set everything up, and then I lose on the last games of the night as well. The Raiders were at home against the Chiefs, I believe. Never had a chance. I lost way too much money on this night. And, like, really just in the last few months in poker, mainly in poker, and then also somewhat in this Neutral EV shit, I've just lost, like, pretty much all my money. And if you recall, I've gotten some loans, and I'm making decent money now with all my different income streams, but just have been on just such a gross downswing. I fucking paid, and I left the wager exchange channel. Can't take it anymore. Feel kind of cursed. Part of it had to do with the end of day 3 of the main event, where I still had 14 big blinds, and people were like, well, people I think Greg Merson had one big blind and came back to win the main event. Well, for me, it's just my experience is no, I can make it far in the main event if I have chips and I can just steal. And but winning like a flip seems, when I need it, it just seems, it doesn't seem like my life. And you know, it, the one time I got it all in, the previous time I played on day five, I had ace queen all in preflop against ace jack, lost. That was my bust out. And then you know, day four of 2021, I just flatted with nines and I got out flopped by ace jack. And then I got in with sixes against ace eight and lost. And I don't know, I can't handle it at this point. And I don't know, I worked on my notes and I had a beer and I slept like shit. That's the story. I woke up early on Monday, November 15th, and I often get the dates wrong. That's also the story. But if Friday was the 12th, yeah, Monday was the 15th, and I worked, and I recorded, and I took a nap, and then I raced over the Hustler, and I needed to eat, and I ordered some of the chicken chow mein. It was good. I ate it really quickly. I got a bunch of caffeine, and I went back to that Crown stage, and then I put my phone in the locker, and I went up the stairs in the back to the booth, and I feel good when I'm up there, and that's the Hustler Casino Live booth. There's a good vibe, a lot of people working very hard, treating this show as their baby, and you can see the results. It's not only is Ryan amazing at getting the lineups and Ryan and Nick both with creating the show and everything, but you see the work that like Patrick does, and there's all these other people you don't know up there working on stuff, and they're just so passionate about it. I like that. It's a, yeah. And I'm a little rusty. So what? I'm going to be. You do 1 week a month. It's a brand new gig for you. I want to have a good intro. I just do. The artist in me wants to have a good intro. I've written a bunch of them. Some of them have been very awkward. But I'm getting there. It took a while in podcasting too. Most of the time when I podcast, like right now, I don't feel 1 ounce of anxiety. I'm not worried about it. I know it's a free-flowing, spewy-as-fuck podcast. And so I just let it be that and people enjoy that. Well, I haven't really found my... I haven't found that yet for commentating. I'm getting closer. I don't know. But there were some good moments I felt in that game. It was a really good game. But I'm talking about judging my performance as a commentator. Ludacris was up $80,000. And I don't know him. He just seems like a nice young guy. Seems like he plays pretty well. Seems like he understands the soft skills of poker better than anyone on that show. I don't think anyone as good as he is about understanding, well, if I am good, I can't be cutthroat. I better show my cards when people want to see. I do need to bluff it off sometimes, maybe make a bad call. I think he does all that stuff on purpose. Anyways, he was tanking to call 14K, I think it was, with king high. And it would not be a good call, and not just because the other guy had quads, but it just wouldn't have been a good call anyways, because the other guy, it was clear the other guy had at least a boat, or, you know, was bluffing, but some of the bluffs beat king high. That's a problem. And especially in this day and age, people turn a lot of hands into bluffs. And I was rooting for him to call. And half of the chat really liked that, and half really thought that was in poor taste for the commentator to be rooting. I don't know. I don't know. I'm still learning this stuff. But a lot of people were mad in the chat and the comments and whatever. The chat is really interesting to me. It's the most, or used to be, the most toxic place on the internet. And I just don't deal with that. That's why I left 2+2. Just same toxic haters. It's so transparent. Like, you're obviously miserable if you're sitting at home just throwing shade at everyone and judging everyone. Like, you're obviously miserable, and I get it. But it's still, like, gross to be around. And that's why I don't go on 2+2 anymore. But the chat is like that times 10, or it can be. And I don't know, I've called them out a bunch of times, and it was mostly pretty chill though on this day. There are a lot of good people in there. Nick from Yuma comes to mind, OC Breeze, Lakers Nation, and someone from Bosnia Forever. And it's kind of cool. I like the community aspect of it. And I like when the players come in there. And I just don't know enough. I never really watched live streams before I started commentating. Just like I never listened to podcasts before I started podcasting. And I never spent much time in the chat. It's just, it's crazy. Well, it was much better on this week. But starting on this Monday. Also, what you wouldn't have known unless you were up there is I was coughing a lot. So I have a cough button. I get up there, and if I'm doing it solo, I got my headphones on and my microphone and, you know, kind of like a offensive coordinator in football, you know, one that, or, you know, like someone that works at eight, anyway, you know, just comes from your ear in front of you, right? And I got two screens. I got the screen where I'm watching the action and calling it, and I can also hear the players. And then I have another screen that has the chat, and it's on maybe a 5-second delay, and which is good in case you miss some action. You just look at that. But sometimes you'll get lost and you'll be looking at that in real time. You're behind. I don't know. But also on my, they're always improving the equipment there. So I'll get used to one microphone and then there'll be a new one. And same thing. There used to be one button when you wanted them to hear you, when you wanted your mic to be hot. And then now, but there, now there's three buttons, and one is talk to Ryan. I don't know what it's called, but it's, maybe it's called talk back, and I can talk to Ryan. And then another one is cough button. So I was using the cough button a lot on this night, and I had seen on Twitter that a lot of people that played the main event got Corona. I already had it. I already had Corona. I've had both my shots, but I felt kind of, my lungs felt like I had it again on this night. It was really weird. I was coughing a bunch, and I thought if I didn't feel good in the morning, I would go get tested and maybe have to miss this week. But anyways, I headed back to my hotel and I ordered room service. I ordered a soup, figured that would help my chest. I don't even know if that makes any goddamn sense, but it's what I did. And I cracked a beer. I brought some of my large Belgians up, and I didn't even finish it. And I fell asleep. Let me take another sip of 7-Up, zero sugar, lemon lime soda. I woke up early on Tuesday, November 16th. Went downstairs, got a coffee and bagel, and I worked. And I didn't have time to take a nap on this day. So I'm just waking up. Usually I wake up and work and caffeinate. And then I take a nap because I want to be fresh for the show. Or just a reset, a little one. Didn't have time for that. I raced over to Hustler again. I ate the chicken chow mein again because I knew it was good and I could eat it quickly and I knew it would be ready quickly. And it was a good show on Tuesday and I felt much better in the booth. And the boys from Palmdale were in there. And that's Mayhem and Big John and Santa Claus and Sammy. And these guys are just gamblers, man. And you learn to respect that the longer you're in the game. Maybe if you're a new pro, you don't. But you learn to respect the people that just have endless heart. And on that note, Josh Machiella was in the game. And he ran bad. He was playing solid all night and ran bad with Pocket Kings. Santa Claus hit a gut shot against him, and he paid him off. And he said, "I'm not tilting." When someone says they're not tilting, you know they're tilting. We're all human. We all tilt. And he found his way all in the next hand with preflop with 8-6 of hearts. And I thought it was very human, very funny. And he was in the chat, actually. So the show is streamed usually 1 hour ahead of time for security reasons. And so when I get in there at 5 o'clock, they started playing at 4 o'clock, right? So then if the show ends at 9, if they do 5 hours of recording, the players are done at 9, but the show doesn't end till 10, so the players can go in the chat for the last hour. And Josh was in there and was like, "I wasn't tilting, man." And it's just so fucking great. And I just want to take a little flashback here. We all have our things that people like and don't like about us, and the poker world brings out like the weirdest behavior in all of us. Garrett calls it Bizarro World, and it is. And I think it would be nice if people kept that in mind when they're watching. Just try not to judge everyone for everything. Yeah, people say some really out of line shit. Some, you know, it happens, and I'm not endorsing any of it. But keep in mind, we all just are who we are, and we have good, and we have bad, and all that. But here's the flashback I want to tell you about. I was a traveling poker player for a very long time. When I became a pro, I was living in San Diego, playing in San Diego, and I kind of outgrew it. The players didn't want to play with me anymore. I was the clueless new pro. I didn't get it. I just took. All I did was take. Every day, take. Play the best. Play locked in. I wasn't like an aggressive seat hop or anything, but I'd seat hop occasionally. I wore headphones. So listen to music, didn't talk to anyone. I was never smug because I'd already been humbled in life plenty of times. But I was never smug. I didn't really think it made me better than anyone else to be so good at poker and to run so hot. And obviously, I didn't know how hot I was running back when I was a new pro at all. And I just fucking crushed. And I was nice. But they didn't, you know, and this is, I've talked about this so many times in this podcast over the years, where they didn't want me to play there. I even got a death threat. A valid one, and it was just because I played too good and ran too hot and won too much, and then so moved to Vegas, and that was important because my wife wasn't able to have children because she was so stressed from work and being around family. Family can be stressful as shit. I'm sure a lot of you are realizing that as the holidays are upon us. Well, you probably already realized that, but you're feeling it more nowadays. It's okay. You'll get through it. But anyways, she moved to Vegas away from family, didn't have to work, was able to get pregnant, and thank fucking God, because, that's the best thing poker's ever given me is my children. And yeah, I don't need to keep talking about them, but, then so living in Vegas and playing in Vegas, and then it became time to give my daughter, my young daughter, a village. And if you can be around family, and even though they're going to stress you out and be judgmental and all that, they are going to help with the little ones. And so I moved back to San Diego, and now I needed to start traveling. And that was back in 2009. So since then, I've always been a traveling poker player. It gets lonely. You will have friends, but mostly you will have acquaintances. And it just gets lonely. Win or lose, it gets lonely. Upswing or downswing, it gets lonely. And there are dark moments. And this was around the time I was starting to spiral towards rock bottom. Didn't realize it at the time, but I definitely was looking back. And one night, so I used to stay at the Commerce all the time and play there mostly. That was my main spot. But sometimes I get sick of the game. One time I left for security reasons. I just was playing with a cartel boss, and it just seemed too fucking sketch. I left, went to Wine Gardens that night, just got the fuck out of there. It just didn't seem right. And sometimes I go to the bike just to change the scenery, you know, and sometimes maybe you're running bad or you're tired and you want the stress of playing fucking 20, 40, 80 with Garrett and whoever else. So mainly I was at Commerce, but one night at the bike, starting to spiral, and there's lonely moments, a lot of them as a traveling poker pro, and that makes you, you know, good at talking to people, because if you can talk to someone, you're not gonna be lonely, and it makes you very approachable and all that. And I always enjoyed seeing Nicole Juergens at the bike and some other characters that were kind of posted up there, David Tuckman. Well, Josh Machiello was one of the players there, and he's very animated, very funny. I knew he had deep pockets, and I think, you know, he was tilting on the night I'm going to tell you about. And he says he doesn't tilt. And I love that about him. That's just great. And anyways, I don't know exactly what year it was, but this song had just come out. And somehow someone had a boombox. So let me pull up what song I'm talking about. And I'll tell you what's going on. Okay. What the fuck? Holy shit, what is this? I don't even know what the hell. This might be more of that kid music. Okay. Let's hear. Okay. So this song had just come out. And someone had a boombox. And they put it they put it at the bike. You know, we were playing the biggest game. It was still a big game. It was probably 10, 20, something like that. It just wasn't the stress of commerce on this night. And I was feeling low and lonely and just, I don't know, man. Just, you know, the blues. And this song came on and Josh started singing it. And he started singing both the singing part and the rapping part. And I'll play it for you in a second. But it was shocking how good he was. It was beautiful. And it made my fucking night. And I'll just, let me just play it. So it says 2013. That makes sense. Josh Machiello is singing this shit, top of his lungs. You think he's done? He's not. He's singing this part too. Maybe someone just had like a big phone, but yeah, we're listening. This is I'm starting to spiral down. I'm having a bad night. Beautiful fucking song. So, this, just, you start playing poker and you just want to play your best every hand, you want to win every hand, and that's fine, but you get 10,000 hours or whatever into it or more. I probably was more at this point, I was probably way more than 10,000 hours, and then it becomes things that you know, it's just not a job that you go and just punch the clock. You look for other stuff and you do feel lonely and whatever. And for whatever reason, this shit just lifted me up on this night. And I probably felt like shit again the next night, but who gives a shit? For one night, I felt really good. And it's just a memory I have. And this was the beginning of me spiraling down, but so what? I had a good night. And I don't know. I just, every time that song comes on, I think of Josh. And I'm not good friends with him or anything, but you just can tell he's got a big heart. He's a kindred spirit. And I don't know. I just think back to that. And so I'm thinking of that when I see him, when I'm commentating and saying I'm not tilting. It brings me back to that. And, you know, they played that song a lot in 2013. And this is when I was starting to spiral. I still had a lot of money, but I was starting to spiral. I was taking the commerce limo to God knows where with God knows who, doing God knows what. At least I was responsible and didn't drink and drive. I would just take the commerce limo. That was my ride. That was my personal Uber anywhere. Just take it. What, $200, $300? I'll take it. And yeah, but that song came on a lot and it just always made me feel good as I was starting to go down the tubes in life. And, I don't know. So that's just a little flashback. After the show on this Tuesday night, I headed to an Airbnb where a couple of my groupies were staying. Only two groupies on this trip. What the fuck? This podcast must be slipping. So I got there and I went with my two groupies down to a ramen place in Long Beach that we had been to before. And I wouldn't mind getting a residence in Long Beach. I've lived there. It would be kind of full circle. I went to college there and then I lived there for a while. And I wrote the best content of my life there, some of it. It was rock and roll songs. And anyways, I've always loved Long Beach. And that would be a good spot for me to get a residence and keep my granny flat in San Diego. And, you know, maybe do a lot more work with Hustler. I think I could. They're trying to, you know, fill their poker room, get the bigger action. I could do that, I think. And maybe work more on Hustler Casino Live. I don't know. But Anyways, this ramen place, the waiter gets it. You can tell that right away. And first of all, he fucks up and he brings, there's pork in this ramen that's supposed to be vegetarian. One of my groupies is vegetarian. And it doesn't matter though. This waiter is so on it. His you know, interpersonal skills, maybe that's not even how you say it, but his social skills are A+. And if it's just, this is like a pro tip. Anywhere you go, ask the waiter or waitress, what do you recommend? What do you think is the best beer you have here? What do you think is the best fish you have here? Whatever. And it gets them engaged and you do get good information and it just forms a connection. If they're the kind of people that you can connect with. And if not, who gives a shit, right? Well, this guy's one of those people and he suggests Asahi Black. Never even heard of that beer before. He's like, it's like Guinness. I said, I love Guinness. Brought us those. It was good. I bought him one. He bought a sake for the table. And this is the shit that I kind of got from my dad. This is my dad. He'll go anywhere and connect with people. And by the time we left there, this guy came in for a bro handshake. And if you're a patron, you know I'm awful at that. I like fist bumps. I'm awful. I don't know what to do when people come in for a bro handshake and a hug. Like, I end up, it gets weird. Turns into like a hand massage and like a dry hump. I'm not good at it. I don't like it. But anyways, this guy was really cool. And his name was Pac. Yeah, like Tupac. But he was just Pac. And we went to a liquor store and went back to the Airbnb and watched World Series of Poker. It was down to 3 people. I bet on the English luck box. Some kid who got it in with Jack 9 against, I think, Ace, Jack, and Queens and won. And I thought, that's the kind of kid who could win it all. And I crashed there. I couldn't sleep very well at the Airbnb because there was these little dogs crawling over me. So I drove back to my hotel room. And I got some sleep there, and then I worked hard. And then I raced back to the Hustler. And my friend David Chin was playing on the show. It's the first person I've ever got to play on this show. And I brought him a nothing shirt and from Poker Rags. And he was excited to play. And I said, I'm going to call you Spaniard. He's not Spanish. His name's Dave Chin, but he looks Spanish. So call him Spaniard. And he's a very funny dude. And I ordered a steak. I'd never had the steak at the Hustler. And it was really good. And it was, you know, a little more expensive than whatever I've been getting. Who gives a shit? You work, you know, every day, all day, at least eat good food. And then I got my caffeine and went up to the booth and got ready. And the game on this night wasn't the best. Sometimes you just don't get coolers. And if there's no coolers, there's no real action unless someone's just a maniac. And there are a few that I love, but there weren't any in this game. And it was just, and no one was intoxicated. And I don't know. The chat was being very cool again for the third night in a row. And I don't know. Maybe I'm running hot. That every time I don't look at the whole thing. I can't. I gotta watch the act. But I glance at it, and I wasn't seeing the like, this person's so fat and stupid. This commentator is the worst person on the planet. They will say that, but I didn't see any of that. I don't know. It felt good. Ryan was being funny up there. I think that was when people were trying to buy me beers. And I don't know. I'm starting to feel this community forming around this casino, the Hustler in LA, and this show, Hustler Casino Live. Show ends, and I go get a couple beers because I know I'm meeting people upstairs. It's Dr. David Namark's birthday, and that's one of my good friends. And he had come up, and a bunch of people, a bunch of patrons, went out to, well, they played golf in the day. And they went out to dinner, and now they're here, and we're going to have a couple drinks, and I'm going to have dinner, and then we're going to go start games. And this is my sponsor, Hustler, so it's pretty cool when I can start a game and just getting, you know, started on with this shit and get more people introduced to the place, and people love it, and we're getting rounds of beers upstairs, and there's a lot of people up there from the show. Ryan came up and had a drink. Jared, the dealer, is very cool. Has to take a lot of shit from Armenian Mike. Luis, the floor man. OC Breeze, who played on the show on this night, and Spaniard, of course, who played on the show, and his better half showed up, and they were amazed. They're like, wait, these people listen to your podcast, and they all come and show up. And it was, I mentioned it was David's birthday, and a really cool thing. So sometimes the community I'm building, I've said the honeymoon phase is over, and it is. Some people are in it for themselves, a few, and I don't know how to navigate that. But most aren't, and most come around, and there are really beautiful moments. And so before this podcast sessions, I started a podcast called Solicit Advice Podcast with my psychiatrist friend. We just want to help people. We want to break down the stigma of mental health. Fuck the stigma. And David has helped a lot of people. He's helped me a ton. He's helped me more than anyone. And it's just, you know, he's that kind of person. He's helped a lot of people behind the scenes. And someone had said, last time David and I did a pod together, he said, how do you remember to breathe? And I said, I just do. And he said, there's also an Apple Watch, which will tell you when to breathe, like when your blood pressure spikes or whatever it is that triggers it. And it tells you, do some breathing. And he's like, that's cool. And then someone reached out to me and said, if you decide to get him that Apple Watch from the community, let me know and I'll pitch in. And my life's a blur. I'm constantly doing correspondence and I don't remember who sent me that message. And so I just put it on Slack, one of the platforms we have for the community. And I just said, I'm going to get David an Apple Watch for his birthday. Someone said they wanted to pitch in. There's no pressure on anyone. But if you do want to pitch in, just, you know, reply in this thread. And it was like the most beautiful 15 minutes of the internet. People were pouring in. I had to cut people off. We had like, I think we knew it was going to be around $800 or $700. We had like 40 people in like 15 minutes. And it was just so, that reaction was so great. And like, I knew David would appreciate it even more coming from all these people that he's touched. And so we presented him. Zogs took care of that and brought it up. And we presented him with his Apple Watch upstairs at the Hustler. And my number one groupie got David some cologne. And it was pretty magical, as this community can be. And my friend Dave Chin, his better half, couldn't believe that this kind of thing goes on in this world full of fucking haters and everyone out to get their, you know, looking out for number one. This is the opposite. This is lovers, fucking people about the group, and a bunch of degenerates of all makes and models. And I sensed that people wanted to go play poker, and yeah, they've been there for a while. And so I need to go start the game. And I didn't eat dinner. And I do feel, as beautiful as all this is, I do feel like, oh shit, like it would have been nice to go golfing. Would have been nice to go to dinner. It would be nice to be able to eat, but fuck it. Let's go play. Let's go start a 5-5-10. And then other people are going to start a different game or play in the smaller games. And to be honest, to start this session, this bonus session, I'm just fully on fumes. I'm running on fumes. I'm spun out from all the work. I just spent 5 hours in the booth looking at two screens, you know, following the action, you know, this and, you know, whatever. And coming off the main event and a quick turnaround in San Diego. And this is my life for now. It's going to get better soon. But I don't know. I'm just thinking, God, I hope Tommy Angelo doesn't listen to this podcast. Bonus session tomorrow. Peace. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess,
I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player, because otherwise,